Good to be back this afternoon, and good to see each one here. Glad to have those that may be online and are viewing this now. Shall we go to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessedness of this day. Thank you for the privilege that is ours to be in your house, in your presence, gathered with saints, church members. Lord, we pray this afternoon for John, has this virus, having great difficulty breathing, been admitted to the hospital. We just pray to Heavenly Father that you would give him breath, that you heal his body of this sickness. Be with his family members. Pray, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts in this difficult and trying time. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, your blessings upon us now this afternoon as we open your word. We glean truth from it, particularly the things that we ought to put off as a child of God, things of the flesh, things of the old man. They're not to be a part of us any longer. Help us, dear Heavenly Father. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and in verse 28, continues our instructions of things that ought to be put off, and what we ought to put on. And he says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Steal no more. That is, as we have said, you may have been a thief before you were saved. I may have been a thief before I was saved. But at the time of salvation, you're to steal no more. You're to put that away. That's not pleasing to God. We looked at that a couple weeks ago and looked at many passages of Scripture exhorting the children of Israel and exhorting us today not to be thieves, not to steal. One area that we did not bring out in the course of that thievery and as it's been impressed upon me, we'll turn there and look now. But in the book of Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 8, this is a charge that God had laid upon Israel. But he lays it upon us today and for us to consider and to think about. In verse 8 he says, will a man rob God? In other words, will you steal from God? That's a good question. Will I steal from God? Will you steal from God? Yet ye have robbed me. Well, God said, you've stolen from me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And you might be asking that question today. Well, how have I stolen from God? He says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Have we stolen from God? Are we stealing from God? You see, there are those that don't like you preaching the tithe. Because the tithe is representative of a tenth. A tenth of all your increase is to be given to the Lord. And more than that. He said, because you've robbed me not only in tithes, not only in the tenth, but in offerings. Oh, so we're to give an offering too. We're to give the tenth, but then we're to covenant with the Lord an offering to be given as well. To continue what I was saying, they don't like you preaching the tithe because that insinuates a tenth. And they said the whole premise of it is why can't I don't have a tenth left to give to God. And so whatever I have left and can give to God, He'll be happy with. He'll be satisfied with. No! God wants your tithes and offerings. Amen. He wants your tenth and your offering. Otherwise, you're robbing from Him. Amen. Now, you're to be a wise manager of your money. And the best practice is God gets the first tenth. God gets the first tenth. And then you manage the rest of the money to pay your bills and to live with. That's prudent. God said, oh, I turned from it. But he said to Israel, and he says to us today, you don't think that's possible? You don't think you can do it? You don't think you can live off the 90% or the 85%? God says, try me. Try me. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such as you cannot contain.
The Lord impressed that upon me this afternoon, and I had to deliver that. I don't know why I didn't think of it before when we were dealing with that. Steal no more. But that's there. We rob from God and we think nothing of it. I mean, we wouldn't think of going out here and stealing from our neighbor or stealing from the store. But we steal from God. And don't think a thing of it. That's a group. That ought to be a greater trespass than stealing from our fellow man. God said, don't steal from them either. But rather let him labor. Work. Toil. Working with his till he's weary. You see, we're to work. We said work with our hands. Here's what people don't like to hear. I didn't realize it was even here until I don't know how many years ago. And it's really, really come to pass. Really
gotten hammered home in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. That he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, that revamps our whole idea of working. My idea of working, and I'm sure your idea of working, used to be so that I could have, so that I could provide for my family. It's the whole idea of working is because God has ordained it so that he might provide for your need, but not only for your need, but for the needs of others. That's God's word. This principle that is being hammered home here in verse 28 is a principle that was commanded to Israel in their day and time. You see, we are to work diligently. We're to work diligently with our hands. We're to weary ourselves. We're to be tired at the end of the day to provide for our own, but for the needs of others as well. There are the poor out there that don't have ordained of God. Ordained of God. God's providence has allowed them to be in that shape. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 15. And we want to see God's provision here. Chapter 15, to really do this passage of Scripture the due justice that it deserves and the proper interpretation, exposition of it, we need to go up to verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren, a countryman, one of thy brethren. Technically, a brother gets all of them. We're all descendants of Adam, so it's our fellow man. But this was his governing Israel, and it was within Israel's borders and their people that this is given to. Within any of thy gates, in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. In other words, you don't harden your heart against him and shut up your hand of giving to him, helping him out. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. You understand the seventh year principle there. A brother, a one who was hard and he could not pay what he owed. He did not have. And so he would sell himself into slavery to pay his debt.
And the seventh year, they were to go free. But they weren't to go free with nothing. They were to go free with everything necessary to start a new life. It didn't make sense to return him with nothing. Well, you're just putting a poor man back out on the street to beg. You were to provide for him. A certain provision. We don't have time to go into all that. Verse 9, about halfway through. And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. In other words, you not only bought this poor brother, paying his debt, and he's worked for you for a period of years, 6 years, then the seventh year was to go free, but you were to provide into his hand. Look at verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. That is, in setting him free, you give unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. Notice there, the Lord thy God shall bless you. Amen. You do what you're supposed to do. You pay the tithe and the offering. God will open the windows and pour you out a blessing such as you can't contain. You help the poor. You work laboring with your hands so that you can have to provide for your family and for give to the poor. The Lord's going to open the windows and pour you out a blessing such as you can't contain it. That's what he said here in this verse. Boy, that goes against everything we grew up thinking, doesn't it? We have been so hard-hearted in the past against the poor. And I know there are many that it seems like they just don't want to work. We have to let God take care of them. We're to do our responsibility. I wanted to continue reading here, verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. You see, that's ordained of God. They're never going to cease out of the land, he said. They're always going to be here. We're to give unto them. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. That doesn't even make good sense, does it? Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. You shall give stingingly unto him? No, you shall give unto him liberally. Out of your flock and out of your possessions unto him. Wow. Like I said, that really transforms the mindset that we grew up with, doesn't it? Well, it does mine. Maybe it doesn't yours. Maybe you grew up knowing these things. I didn't. You see. So we're to work according to our verse, our text. Paul, the Holy Spirit brings it over to the New Testament days in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that soweth steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Wow. Well, let's go to another passage of Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, in chapter 3. In verse 11 of the third chapter of Luke. He answers and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him in part give to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, hath food, let him do likewise. Let him give to him that doesn't have food. There, it's the same principle in Ephesians 4:28. We labor working with our hands. The Lord blesses us. We can provide for ourselves, for our families, so that they have the things necessary for life and the abundance we're to give to the poor. God blessed every one of us with more than what we need. More than what we need. Obviously, some of us are carrying around a few extra pounds than what we need. We could get by on a lot less than we presently are consuming. We want to follow Paul's example. Paul followed this principle. He's not only preaching and teaching this principle under the direction of the Holy Spirit, but Paul lived that. We looked at a passage, a portion of Scripture last week, or at least I think we did. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 20. And here he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, in particular. In verse 33, as he's closing out his speech to them, he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I'm not desired it with great passion. I believe Paul blessed him. I believe Paul said, praise God. Praise the Lord. He blessed you in that. That's what we ought to do. That's the teaching of Scripture. He said in verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know, you Ephesian elders know, that these hands, you witnessed it firsthand, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. You see, Paul says here, what's Paul saying here? He's saying, not only did I work with my hands providing for my need, for my necessities, but I provided for the others that were with me as well in my labors and in my workings. I have showed you all things. In other words, I've been an example to you all. You've seen it, you've witnessed it, and that was being an example to you. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give
than to receive. Boy, and I'll tell you, in the last few years, and that principle really was driven home to me. I always kind of somewhat knew it, but I've experienced it a great deal in the last 6 years, being pastor here at Grace Baptist Church, and having a member here that taught me that by his example, and the joy that he got from giving to others. And others have been instrumental in that example as well. And I've opened up and given more. It is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, receiving, at least to me, and I've talked to others, receiving is humbling. It's humbling. It's because I don't think I deserve it. I don't deserve it. So to receive from someone, from another church, is humbling. It brings me low. But to give is the blessed thing. To be able to give. You see, giving says, I'm blessed of the Lord. Here, I want to share with you. You see, isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful experience to experience. Well, to follow Christ's example. Christ's example. We have these examples in Scripture. We've looked at how that Israel was commanded to be. Israel didn't always do that, practice that. They shut up their purse strings. They got pretty tight and stingy. We see those old Pharisees in the New Testament. We see them being pretty stingy. You know, and if they did give alms, it was so that they might be exalted, so that they might be lifted up. They, look what I did. Look what I did, like that chicken that laid the egg. And then said, look what I did. Look what I did. You see? I want to follow Christ's example. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Called to be saints. Called to be born again. Called to be children of God. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. We want to follow. We want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone would say, well, he owned it all. He created, he owned it all. Remember this morning's message? What he gave up to come and be the ransom for our sin? He became poor. The rich became poor. He said in the book of Matthew, he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. We're to follow his example. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, in verse 29, tells us that we're to take upon us the yoke, his yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, we're to be yoked to Christ. We're to take his yoke. And we're to learn of him. Part of the reason why we're traveling through the book of Matthew. the Gospel of Matthew on Sunday mornings. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeing how He lived, how He behaved, how He acted with the throngs of people, the masses of sinful people all around about. He said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You see, learning of Christ, learning the ways of Christ, makes for a restful life, a peaceful life, a life of rest, knowing that we're pleasing Him. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 11. "And the people, when they knew it, followed Him. And He received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away," same day, "all the multitudes are coming unto Him, and they're seeking to be healed and to learn of Him, learn of His doctrine. "Then came the 12 and said unto Him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and give victuals. For we are here in a desert place." What's a desert place, Ingram? Not much out there. There's not much provisions out there. "But He said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. For they were about 5,000 men. And He said to His disciples, Make them set down by 50s and a company. And you know the rest of it. He took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He gave thanks to God. And broke it. And they fed 5,000 men. Besides women and children. How many did they feed? I don't know. 10,000? 15,000? And they ate till they were full. And He said, Gather up that which remains. Oh, there's a teaching in Scripture about eating leftovers. Not throwing away anything that's left over. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. Another place it tells us that Jesus had compassion upon the multitude because they had been with Him for 3 days and they had not eaten. They're in a desert place. They had not eaten. And He had compassion on them because some had come from a long journey, it says. And they would faint in their trip back home. Jesus had compassion on them. They had not food. They had not eaten. And He had compassion on them. And He fed them. He fed them and then sent them away. Actually, turn with me to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 8. That's the passage I'm referencing. This is the instance of the 4,000 being fed.
Verse 1, in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Have been with him for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint by the way. For divers of them, many of them have came from afar, from a long ways.
Because of lack of food, they'll fall along the wayside. They'll maybe even expire. Jesus had compassion on them. We ought to follow the example of what we have in scriptures. We have Paul as an example. We have Jesus Christ, who's greater than Paul. Paul was just following Christ and what he did. And he told the Ephesian elders that he was a witness to them and that they ought to follow him and what he did. And he left us testimony in Ephesians 4:28 that's why we ought to work, laboring with our hands, so that we might do like he did, so that we might do like the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have compassion on those that are without, that have not what they need. Jesus said, if you have 2 coats, give to him that has none. If you have food, give to him that has none. You see, we're to let the spirit of love and compassion prevail. Shall we look to the Lord in word of prayer in closing?